So God is good, amen. I just want to really bring an encouragement to church this morning. I was really struggling with just what to, had a few things I wanted to really speak about what we witnessed. But I really felt God just say to me, I just want you to encourage the church this morning. And I don't know, in church, what I love about the house of God is we're all at different points of our life. Someone may have gotten out of bed and just said, God, you don't understand that I don't want to do this anymore. Some of you might be in here this morning rejoicing, going, just seen a victory, just witnessed the most amazing moment of their life. But we're all in the house together and we're all in the one place because God is sovereign no matter what is going on in our life. And what I want to bring this morning is a reality, a strong reality. I want to bring something that it has to be established inside of you. Something that is real and has got to be factual in your life. That no matter what life throws at you, what situation you're faced with, unexpected, difficult time, I want you to know this reality. Because most of the time we can't stop bad things happening. We don't see things that are around the corner. We don't know what tomorrow holds. The Bible says live in today because you don't know what tomorrow holds. None of us in this room know if we're breathing our final 24 hours. Nobody. We could possibly be all living our final 24 hours. We don't know, but one does, and it is God. Not the enemy who we've been giving so much attention to, nothing that anything the world has thrown us, but there is one God that knows where we are in this journey. The truth that I want you to hold on to this morning is this. Anything under God's control is never going to be out of control. I want to say that again. The truth and the fact I want your reality to be this morning, that anything under God's control is and never will be out of control. But this morning, what you witnessed Matthew and Catherine do was bring it under God's control. There wasn't just God, I hope and pray and wish that you're going to do this. There was a physical choice, a decision was made in a home place that we are going to bring our son before the Lord. We are going to make a decision because they know that when they bring anything under God's control, nothing will be out of control. Now, so much we cannot control. So much we cannot foresee. But do you know what? God is still in control. No matter what, God is in control. I want to bring this truth to you this morning. I want to bring this encouragement to you. Anything that is under God's control is never out of control. My family's out of control. No, it's not. God's in control. My situation's out of control. My health is out of control. My finances are out of control. No, they're not. I want you to get a strong reality check this morning that if it's under God's control, it is not out of control. It may be messed up for a season, but it's still under God's control. And if you begin to really understand that, and that becomes a reality, that will sustain you through every unexpected thing that's going to happen to your way. This right now, you may be walking in what feels uncontrollably out of your control. Everything seems to go, but guess what? He is still in control. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 to 10. This is what God said. This is not a man. This is not an angel. This is not a prophet. This is not an apostle. This is not even a great man of God or pastor. This is the word of God spoken by the mouth of God. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I'm God and there's no other. Can I just hear an amen to that? Guess what? He's the only God there is. Every other God, let me tell you, is dead. But the God that I serve, the God that we are serving, the God that we said to you, we will worship to, he is alive and well. That is why God says, there's no other God beside me because I'm the only one who's still standing. I'm alive and well. I went to the grave. I conquered the grave. I came and I said to you that you would see I am the Lord God. I am God. There's no other God. And I am God and there is no one like me. I make known Some translations say, I now declare the end from the beginning, from the ancient time. What is still yet to come? I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Can someone give me a mighty amen? I will declare the end from the beginning. You know what Matthew and Catherine did this morning? Guess what, Samuel? I'm declaring your end first. I'm declaring that you are going to be prosperous, protected, and fulfilled for the rest of your days. That's what they did. They said, we're going to take you to the house of God. We'll work backwards, because as you begin to grow, life's going to bring hardships. But right now, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to bring you to the house of God, and I'm going to establish the truth of God. He will protect you. He will bless you. He will enlarge you. He will bring you the things. That's what they did. This morning, that's what God says I want you to do. I want you to know that I'm God. There is no one like me. There is no one beside me. And I declare the end from the beginning. We're so used to working our way up the ladder. God says, uh-uh. I don't go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I work from victory all the way back. I make known, I declare the end from the beginning. What is still to come? The definition for declaring in the Strong's is to stand boldly, listen to this, opposing all that is opposite until its full manifestation appears. So let me read that again. I, this is God, says, I will stand boldly opposing all that is opposite until it is fully manifested and you see it. See, what you have to understand is that God is not man and he doesn't operate the way you and I understand. He just doesn't operate the way you and I understand. I'm God and there's no one like him. Your destiny, ICC, is not unfolding. Your destiny has been declared. Your destiny is not unfolding. It has been spoken. It has been established. It is already enthralled. It is already in the throne room. It's not something that you have to hope for. This is something that's been declared. And everything opposing it, God is standing boldly against it. Everything that is opposing that destiny, that purpose of your existence, God says, I will oppose it until you see the manifestation of what I have called you to be. Everything that comes against you that is not aligned with your destiny and your purpose, God says, everything that opposes you, I will stand. Not your best friend, not your husband. Amen. I know. Half of you just said then, she doesn't need a mic. My purpose will stand. The Hebrew word for purpose is asta. And it means something to bring something to the point of execution. My purpose, which means to bring something to the point of execution, will stand. So what I want to speak to you this morning is the purpose that God has over you is a plan that will come to fulfillment, because it's a plan that God says, I will execute this plan. There is nothing that anybody can do to oppose this plan. I will execute it till it is fulfilled and accomplished in what I have said. I will do all that I please, meaning God's in control. Not the enemy, not your friends, not your boss, not your past, not even the current situation can overtake what God is trying to do right now in your life. God is completely in control. And I want to just say this, God will always keep his promises. But, he's not obligated to keep your potential. God will always keep his promises, but he's not obligated to keep your potential. He's speaking promises. He's speaking purpose. He's speaking victory. He's speaking completion over you. That is his purpose, to keep his promises. See, God doesn't come and speak to us from a place of where we're at the moment. He said to Abraham, Abraham, I've heard your cry. I've heard your desires. But I want you to do something for me, Abraham. I want you to get your eyes off the situation, because that so-called barren wife of yours, she's about to become a mother of many nations. He's saying, I get the situation, Abraham. I get what you're going through, Abraham. But you got to understand that that thing that you're calling barren, because that came out of the spoken word of man, not God. God spoke when he spoke from the completion point. He said, that is a woman that out of her will come kings and queens, and nations will come before her, and out of her they will see the blessings of the Lord. And Abraham, you better work out what situation you're living in, because when he spoke to him, you're going to be a father of many nations. You are going to be able to count the stars, and you won't be able to understand, because my place is from completion. So get your eyes off your current situation, Abraham. That wife that you're calling barren, I call a woman, a blessed mother of nations. So choose you today what you speak over your situation and your life. What is it that is happening? See, Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. This is not someone hoping. This is saying, I'm saying this. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are way higher than your thoughts. As my spoken word goes out from my mouth, it will not return empty. But I will accomplish all that is said and achieved its purpose for which I sent it. I want to tell you, ICC, you are a spoken word of God. You are not here by chance. You are not here by accident. You are not here by your circumstance. You are a spoken, literal word of God. God says that what I send forth, what I speak forth, that shall I bring to completion. He's not obligated to give you the potential to carry through this situation. He's obligated to do what he said he would do and bring it to the point of completion. He says, for I have a plan for you. I have a plan to prosper you, to bless you, and to increase you. I have a plan for you to see your future. He said, be confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work shall complete it. He says, I'm not hoping. I know who I am. I'm going to complete what I've said I'm going to do. He said, you're a spoken word. You are a spoken word. You're a spoken woman of God. You're a spoken man of God. You are a son of the King of Kings. You are healed and established, prosperous in everything you do. That's what God says. He said, I will bless you when you go in. I will bless you when you go out. That is the purpose of my existence. The purpose of my existence is to tell the world there is a God that loves you so much that he went to the cross to die for you. That is my purpose. And as I outlive that purpose, God is always saying, keep coming. Victory hasn't changed. Keep coming. I see what you're going through. I see what you're going through. I could not have felt more defeated this week as I sat in a hospital. But guess what? I know that God is saying that girl has victory all over her. She has healing all over her. For the situation doesn't determine who I am. That is why this Sunday I'm on a pulpit, not because I'm anywhere better than anybody else, but I know who's on my throne. He's on the throne. So I can be in a hospital bed, and I can be home, and I can be in the worst of situations, or I can be in the desert, but God is still on the throne. And I'm going to make sure that every single Sunday, church is not just about me having a pretty 2 hours of my Sunday taken up. My promise about my existence is to come and say, Satan, you have tried hard this week, but guess what? I'm coming to preach the gospel. I'm coming to preach the kingdom of God. I'm coming to preach that hell is defied and my God shall supply every need that I have. That is why I'm here this morning. Not to tell anybody anything, but to tell Satan, you messed with the wrong girl again. You picked the wrong family to mess with. And that's what Catherine and Matthew did. Don't mess with us, Satan. Don't mess with us. We're going to do what we were told to do. And we're bringing this son that God gave us to him. But I need you to get a hold of this, because your strongest belief is creating your reality. Your strongest belief is creating your reality. Faith doesn't change what I'm looking at. Faith changes how I see it. Faith doesn't change what is happening. Faith changes how I see it. The reality is, you're going through what you're going through, but faith speaks to it. But God has got a victory plan executing right now, established in the throne room of God. Abraham, get your eyes off the situation, because what you're calling barren is about to be a mother of many nations. God started to work from the end, and then he began to work backwards. He works from the completion. And then he says, let's go back. There's a season. Maybe there's a season in your life of the valley of the shadow of death, but God says, that's okay. I got my rod and my staff, and they're about to guide you through this season. Let's keep going. Victory is still yours. Maybe there's a season of financial hardship upon your family, and God says, okay, but keep remembering that I'm actually Jehovah Jireh, and I'll still provide. Let's keep going. Victory is already yours. So he'll come, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he's coming to move you through that season. He's coming to walk you through that chapter. There's a storm. I see it. But guess what? I spoke to the wind and the storm, and I told it to be silent and calm as you walk through this storm. He's got a plan for everything. 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 He has a plan. For you saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained before me, were written in your book before even one came to pass. The devil can think whatever he wants. He can try to convict you. But can I speak to you this morning that your strongest belief is determining your reality? Everything you are going through, God is well aware of. This did not happen by chance. He's not shocked by what's going on. You and I are walking through unexpected circumstance. He's not. He knew it was happening. And do you know what the beautiful thing about that is? Is if he knew about it, he's got a plan for it. Certain things have happened that I never saw happening this year. But the beautiful thing is, that's what I love about my God. He knew it was happening. And he knew that I could take it. So he's going to walk me through it. Because if it's in God's control, it's never going to be out of control. So I have to rein back my thoughts. I have to rein back my words and say, even before one day, you already ordained this. You ordained this. If it's under God's control, it's never out of control. So decide today, what will be your reality? Your reality may be that you don't understand what is happening, but he's still on the throne. Your reality might be that you don't know how you're going to pay the next bills, but I'm telling you, your belief has to be he's still on the throne. Your reality may be that your body is full of pain, but he is still on the throne. And while that is your belief, your reality will collide with the truth, because the Bible says that it's the truth that will set the situation free. But I have to bring that into alignment. We are so concerned with the day-to-day movement. We are so concerned. We are so concerned. And God's saying, but I got a plan. I got a plan. I got a plan. And I'm executing it. And everything that is opposing that, I'm standing. The Bible, I'm standing boldly until I see the manifest. He's doing. Do you understand the God that we serve? He's saying, I am standing and I will oppose what is not in line with your destiny, Mirella. And what I am standing against, I will wait till you see the manifestation. I'm not moving from that position. I will stand there and I'll oppose it. My lines, my thoughts need to come into alignment with God. See, we don't realize that what looks buried, God says, that's just a transition. Well, that looks broken. No, that's coming to completion. But we so much don't understand the day-to-day movement. We spend so much time not understanding that God actually has a plan. My encouragement to you this morning is God's got a plan and He's going to unfold it in your life. God's got a plan and He's going to unfold it in your life. God's got a plan and He will bring it to completion. 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 But you know what the Word of God says. Know what it speaks. Know what the truth is. Decide today what your life is going to be, who it's going to be like. But we're so quick. You don't realize that this season that you're going through right now is establishing who you are. It's establishing the warrior inside of you. It's establishing the fighter inside of you. It's establishing the anointing of David and Esther's inside of you. This one here is establishing who you are. This season of hardship, God says, you don't understand. This is where you're going into the fire because this is where I'm refining you. I'm going to call the worship team, but before the worship, come up, Narelle, come up to stage. Yeah, no, you're nervous. I'm going to be speaking at a women's conference, so this is coming from that. We spend so much time worried about where we're going instead of saying, God's got a plan. Let me show you who Narelle is. Narelle is a Proverbs 31 woman in the making. Can someone give me an amen for that? She's a Proverbs 31 woman in the making because I, as her pastor, have seen the warrior she is. I saw her. I've had many surgeries this year, and I've been on stage. She buried her mum on a Wednesday, was worship leading on a Sunday. She's a Proverbs 31. All the single men in church, let me tell you, that's what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like. I can say this. Don't worry, girl. All right. We are Proverbs 31 women. But as you sit there and proclaim a 31 Proverbs woman, do you know there's 30 chapters before that? There's 30, not one. There's 30 chapters before God declares what a Proverbs 31 woman is. So the Proverbs 31 woman is waiting for the man who's living out the 30 chapters before. Do you know what the 30 chapters before that is? It's all right, stay focused. She knows because I lecture her enough. While you're bothered waiting for God to bring you a Proverbs 31 woman, why don't you focus the rest of this on the 30 chapters before that chapter? Because that will prepare you in your attitude, in your obedience, in your perseverance, in your character, in your sacrifice, in your humility, and in your strength. The 30 chapters before that is preparing you. So when you get to the Proverbs 31 woman, you have known that you've got a Proverbs 31 woman in front of you. And you will not have to ask God, is this it? Does this what it looks like? You'll know because the man of God that has been prepared for you has been living out chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, integrity, sustainability, obedience, hardship. And God is saying, I can see them. They're in the house of God. No matter what their circumstances, they're in the house of God. They're worshiping because the Proverbs 30 woman is going, I know what a 30 chapter man looks like. Come on, are you here with me, ICC? We're sitting there going, oh, God, make me a 31 chapter woman. She's going, I've been there, done that. I'm waiting for the men to go. I have to see you worship God through the storm. I have to see you worship God through the wilderness. I have to see you worship God when there's no money left. I have to see you worship God when you're burying your mother and you've got no more hope. I've got to see you do that. That's what 30 chapters of Proverbs says. Before you get to she is blessed far beyond rubies. So don't defile the 30 chapters before. Chapter 31 is coming. Chapter 31 is coming. Because God says that is who I'm calling you to live. So if you're not at your chapter 31, can I ask you this Sunday, maybe you still need to be reading, reread chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 30 chapters before she's blessed when she comes in and she's blessed when she goes out. She's far blessed. She's far worthy than a ruby. There's 30 chapters of defining you, refining you, changing you, preparing you. Because when they're there, it's full speed ahead. Ask anyone who's married what they wish they would have done while they were still single. Keep it straight. Keep it. Everyone's brain just went. Ding. But you know the wonderful thing about that is those married people can speak into the single people and go, you don't realize the blessing you're leaving right now as you live out those 30 chapters. Those 30 chapters are coming into play because the marriage you're about to obtain is far greater than you've ever established. So let me tell you, men of God, the Proverb 31 women are out there, but they're watching that you're living out 30 chapters before. That's where you say amen. That's your part. Amen. Let's get to our feet. Let me call the worship team back up. I can go on a whole different tangent.